مگر ہوں مکہ سو ٹوڈے وی فنش دس اینڈ دین آئی ول کم بیک اینڈ آف دا منتھ سو اٹس بیوٹیفل دس ڈائیلاگ جیسس اینڈ وت دا سول آف اے ڈیپ وت اے ڈیسپیرنگ سول I think at times, you know, she acts as a kind of soul who's desperate and asking Jesus the reasons at the back. Now this is the word of Jesus. O soul steeped in darkness, do not despair. All is not yet lost. Come and confide in your God, who is love and mercy. Don't be desperate. Have hope all the time for the end of the world yet. But a soul, deaf even to this appeal, wraps itself in darkness. So, couldn't understand much. Jesus calls out again, My child, listen. To the voice of your merciful Father. And in the soul arises this reply, For me, there is no mercy. And it falls into greater darkness, a despair which is a foretaste of hell and makes it unable to draw near to God. Hell is like this, no God, no belief in love. That's hell. Jesus called to the soul a third time, but the soul remained deaf and blind, hardened and despairing. Sometimes we are like this, just obstinate. Then the mercy of God begins to exert itself. And without any cooperation from the soul, God grants it final grace. So, although we don't want to give our hand, Jesus, God's love, He still wants to hold your hand for the last time. You cannot just react all the time negatively. If this tool is burned, God will leave the soul in this self-chosen disposition for eternity. If you are really not believing anymore, you cannot just forever reject. You may ask, why Jesus, Lord, why don't you change your heart? You said Jesus doesn't want to change our heart. We don't want to be changed. How can it be changed? That's a problem. We may say, oh, God is omnipotent, powerful, but still, He is love. If you 100% freedom, if we don't use our freedom well, so just be careful. Very easy, obstinate, the mind can just cut off all the lights from the Lord. This grace emerges from the merciful heart of Jesus and gives the soul a special light by means of which the soul begins to understand God's effort. But conversion depends on its own will. We need to have a will also. At least you still have to say, you want it. If you don't want it, it is a desire for it. If you don't, you know, Judas, very close to Jesus also, he's beloved. Because Jesus already gave him a lot of warning. If for the last time, if Judas already chosen to betray Jesus, nothing can happen. She said, just go. Do what you want. He respect our freedom. It hurts. It hurts the heart of Jesus. But what can he do? The soul knows that is, for her, is final grace. And should it show even a flick of goodwill, the mercy of God will accomplish the rest. So still, a kind of light inside the soul. Some hope. Now the word of Jesus. My omnipotent mercy is active here. Happy the soul that takes advantage of this grace. Takes advantage. It seems one another phrase says, if the last second of your life, you look at Jesus and say, I'm sorry. Salvation forever for you. But you don't go to the other way. You are so obstinate. If you still doesn't believe in the love of God, you don't love, becomes hate. No second choice. No other choice. On earth, Jesus says, either we serve the Lord or money, right? Only serve one master, not two masters. At times you want to serve both. Serve yourself, your desire. Put your desire first before the will of the Lord. Jesus says, what joy fills my heart when you return to me, because you are weak. I take you in my arms and carry you to the home of my Father. You know, since you're weak, Jesus is really holding you together, but at least you want to be held by the Lord. You say, I don't want. What can Jesus? He's open-handed. He wants you. If you don't want, he respects you. Do what you want. So, as if awaking, ask faithfully, ask fearfully, is it possible that there yet is mercy for me? So he or she, so bad, and to the end, doesn't want. So if the last moment change mind, then would that be for me salvation? Jesus says, there is, my child. You have a special claim on my mercy. Let it act in your poor soul. Let the rays of grace enter your soul. They bring with them light, warmth, and life. So try to have kind of image of the divine mercy. You know, the light and warmth. Have this in mind. More. One of those, just all the pictures of your idols, of the singers, you know, the models. They want one day like them. Look at Jesus. The soul. But fear fills me at the thoughts of my sins. And this terrible fear moves me to doubt your goodness. So sometimes you feel we're so bad, we commit so much sin. Although no people know, but we know how bad we are. So we doubt, we ask, is it possible? Is it? Jesus says, my child, all your sins have not wounded my heart as painfully as your present lack of trust does. You hurt Jesus more, your distrust, than your sin. That after so many efforts of my love and mercy, you should still doubt my goodness. So if Jesus is telling us so many times and still we, is it it? Is it true? Still forgiving? It hurts Jesus more, your doubts. Then the soul says, "O Lord, save me yourself, for I perish. Be my savior, O Lord. I'm unable to say anything more. My pitiful heart is torn asunder. But you, O Lord." Jesus does not let the soul finish, but raising it from the ground, from the depth of his misery, he leads it into the recess of his heart, where all his sins disappear instantly, consumed by the flames of love. So the red light kind of flame just burn out our sinfulness. And the light, the white, give all the lights. So it's a grace at times. So that's why we need to be humble. Don't just use your intellect. You can't do much. Yeah, of course, you are very smart. You can think of so many things. But without love, all will perish. Jesus says, here, so, are all the treasures of my heart. Takes everything you need from it. So it's too late. The soul says, "O Lord, I'm inundated with your grace. I sense that a new life has entered into me. And above all, I feel your love in my heart. That is enough for me. O Lord, I will glorify the omnipotence of your mercy for all eternity. Encouraged by your goodness, I will confide to you all the sorrows of my heart." Then Jesus says, "Tell me all, my child. Hide nothing from me, because my loving heart, the heart of your best friend, is listening to you." Jesus considers himself your best friend. Do you? Or second best? Your husband? Who first? Husband or Jesus? Husband? Well, of course, if you really love Jesus, you love your husband very, very much, pretty well. But you don't love your husband so much, equal to, you don't love Jesus as much. So I don't believe you say you love Jesus so much if you don't love your husband either. Right? Logic. Of course, I don't say that you don't love your husband, but I think it's a trap, no? Who first? Well, wait, Jesus knows our heart. But just make it sure, put God in the first place. He considers our dearest, his dearest friend, my beloved. He used this word always because his love. What if we don't love anything? I have to tell you. Why don't you love? You're not lovable. If you're not quarreling already, is the best. It's human. You're always using human things, human thoughts, human arguments. Oh Lord, now I see all my ingratitude and your goodness. You are pursuing me with your grace while I was frustrating your benevolence. I see that I deserve the depths of hell for spurning your grace. Then Jesus stop a little bit and say, "Do not be absorbed in your misery. You are still too weak to speak of it, but rather gaze on my heart, filled with goodness, and be imbued with my sentiments. Strive for meekness and humility. Be merciful to others as I am to you. And when you feel your strength failing, if you come to the fountain of mercy to fortify your soul, you will not grow weary on your journey." So if you're really weak, just be humble, kneel down, ask for the grace. Not this. I don't understand. Not this. Whatever you come to you, the way out. Sorry. Only one door. His heart of Jesus. The soul says, now I understand your mercy, which protects me. And now your brilliant star leads me into the home of my Father, protecting me from the horrors of hell that I have deserved not once, but a thousand times. O Lord, eternity will hardly suffice for me to give due praise to your unfathomable mercy and your compassion for me. It's beautiful. It is. The soul say, thank you, Jesus. Now the second conversation of the merciful God with a suffering soul. So many times we are suffering. So this is very good. Now this, another conversation, beautiful, with a suffering soul. Jesus says, poor soul, I see that you suffer much and that you do not have even the strength to converse with me. So I will speak to you. Even though your sufferings were very great, do not lose heart or give in to despondency. But tell me, my child, who has dared to wound your heart? Tell me about everything. Be sincere in dealing with me. Reveal all the wounds of your heart. I will heal them, and your suffering will become a source of your sanctification. At times we see suffering is something bad, but not all the time. Jesus will transform it into grace. Listen, the conversation. Lord, my suffering are so great, the numerous, and have lasted so long that I become discouraged. You know, at times, many times, we ask, and still weak and going down. Jesus says, my child, do not be discouraged. I know your boundless trust in me. I know you are aware of my goodness and mercy. Let me talk in detail about everything that weighs so heavily upon your heart. The soul says, there are so many different things that I do not know what to speak about first, nor how to express it. So many sufferings. Don't know how to tell Jesus which is the first thing to say. Then Jesus says, talk to me simply, as a friend to a friend. Don't formulate your prayer. Don't just think about what the first and second ask. When you talk to a friend, you think first. You talk first and second. You just impromptu. Whatever come to your mind, whatever come to your soul, say it. With simplicity, the same with Jesus. So many times we just reading all the formulated prayers. It's sometimes helpful, but at times it's not from you, from your heart. My child, what hinders you from advancing in holiness? Jesus asked. Then the soul replied, poor health detains me on the way to holiness. Now she confessed now, poor health. I'm as useless as an extra wheel on a wagon, because she did nothing great in her common, no? She's just a simple nun, just look after the house, and you know, in the doorway, in the kitchen, peeling potatoes. Humanly speaking, nothing great. He's not superior. It have no have no authority on anybody. I cannot mortify myself or fast to any extent as the saints did. So she's so weak, at times she cannot fast. She feels bad, Faustina. Furthermore, nobody believes I'm sick, that's the problem. She looks so beautiful. If she looks so sick, so thin, so feeble, then people might say, oh, poor Faustina. But she looks so great, always bright, because always converse with the Lord. So her eye, her soul, from her eye, all brightness, all hope, all joy. How can you define a person is sick? When you saw a person is sick, dull, and the eyes cold, half closed, and you know, but I'm so smart, how can you tell people you're sick? You're weak, so strict, and with joy to people, loving everybody and greet everybody who say you're sick. There's a problem. He's so weak, and nobody knows. They don't understand. That's why his sister's complaining. He asked the sister to bring breakfast to her, to her bedside, and say, the sister said, why don't you go? And he couldn't go to the chapel for prayer. Why didn't you go? It's a big feast today. Why stay on bed? Go down to the chapel and attend mass. She suffered. So nobody believes me. She looks so well. Internally, so weak, she can't walk. But externally, like an angel. Furthermore, nobody believes I'm sick, so that mental pain is added to those of the soul, and I'm often humiliated. Now you see all those words. Why don't you? I will. So, Jesus, how can anyone become holy in such circumstances? No, that's a good question. Huh? If you're always being shouted by your boss, then you may ask you, how can you be a saint always in this situation? You know, this for you, your question. Is it your question also? Yeah? You're like a queen in the house? You're a handmaid of the Lord. So, Jesus said, true, my child. Oh, that is painful. Jesus understands what you are suffering. But there is no way to heaven except the way of the cross. Carry a cross. That's your particular cross. Not her, yours. It's mine and not yours, you know. You couldn't understand my cross. The same way I couldn't understand your cross. Now Jesus said, I follow it first. You must learn that it is the shortest and surest way. Jesus, for sanity, is carrying his cross, Jesus' cross, himself. So if we follow Jesus, just do the same. Hey, the same word of Jesus in the gospel. Those who want to follow me, carry your cross and follow me. Your daily cross, not tomorrow's cross, not yesterday's cross, today's cross. Now, the cross now is listen to me. Maybe a cross for you. Then the soul said, Lord, there's another obstacle to the road to holiness. Because I'm faithful to you, I'm persecuted and suffer much, because he always said that good relation with Jesus, and the people say, you're mad, you're insane. Jesus says, it's because you are not of this world that the world hates you, you see. The world hates you because you don't belong to the world. You belong to Jesus. And Jesus already said, the world hates me first, they will hate you the same. You see? It's from the gospel. Persecution is a sign that you are following in my footsteps faithfully. Thank the Lord you have the cross, because you are on the right path. You are still enjoying life, nothing happened, be careful, Maybe it's a devil's way. Happy life, no cross, everybody loving you so much, as if you're the queen, be careful. Now, turn it past, but this is a long passage of Jesus' words. Do you want to hear? Okay. Well, my child, this time you have told me a good deal. I realize how painful it is not to be understood, and especially by those whom one loves and with whom one has been very open. But suffice it to know that I understand all the troubles and misery. I'm pleased by the deep faith you have, despite everything in my representatives. Learn from this that no one will understand it so entirely. So, no one will understand completely, 100%, except Jesus. So don't expect you are being understood perfectly by people, by human being. No way, Jesus says, no way, don't. That is beyond human ability. We are all selfish, self-centered. How can you understand people well? Even you don't understand yourself well, or you don't accept yourself well, how can you accept the other person? You know, that's simple logic. Therefore, I have remained on earth to comfort your aching heart and to fortify your soul so that you will not falter on the way. You know, that's why Jesus is always accompanying her all these last 3 years of her life, always being with her, to comfort her, because she's a mission. She has a great mission to spread the divine mercy to the world. You know, so much aggressive things against her. So that's why Jesus kept keeping her. I think this is one of the reasons. Many people ask, how can in Medjugorje, the How Heavenly Mother is still 29 years with these 6 kids, still with them? The same answer. Because the world is so bad. If Our Heavenly Mother is not on earth still until today, we'll fade away. At least some people will believe in the message of Medjugorje. At least some people to sacrifice. At least so some people repent and say the rosary and adoration. At least some people praying for. You know, in the story of the Sodom, Abraham and the Lord are arguing, if get some good soul, so the Lord will not destroy the city. 40, then no, 35 better. Can I find 5 to 35? No, better. If I can't find 30, it's okay, Jesus, the Lord. Okay, 30, couldn't find. 25, how about 10? Not even 10, you see. The mercy of God is there, but we don't live up. You see that the dense darkness is obscuring your mind. But why, at such times, do you not come to me, the light who can, in an instant, pour into your soul more understanding about holiness than can be found in any book? So that means Jesus is telling him, when you are so weak, so in darkness, why don't you come to me? Open your soul and to me and tell me. Not just want just to find the answer by yourself. You cannot. No confessor is capable of teaching and enlightening a soul in this way. You see, even the confessor cannot help you 100%. Go to the Blessed Sacrament. To this feast of Blessed Sacrament. Know too that the darkness about which you complained, I first endured in the Garden of Olives, when my soul was crushed in mortal anguish. I'm giving you a share in those sufferings because of my special love for you, and in view of high degree of holiness, I'm intending for you in heaven. A suffering soul is closest to my heart. So that means Jesus already in the Garden of Gethsemane. He already suffered so much that we are suffering. We share part of his suffering, you know. You say, you're a great sufferer. He says, I am the one who suffers. 100%. You might just share 1%, 2% of the suffering, Jesus, and we are so desperate. And Jesus suffers so much, that sweat become blood, you know, bloody sweat coming out. So much pain for all the world's pain. Sinfulness, all into the body of Jesus. So next time, might be in July, we come back again for this meditation. Okay, we now say the prayer.